This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Ben Bernanke wants to meet the press on a regular basis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Federal Reserve has announced that four times a year, Chairman Ben Bernanke will do something his predecessors haven't been willing to do: take questions from reporters. Let's go live to our Washington reporter, David Gura, for the details. Hi, David.
Morning, Jeremy.
So why has the Fed decided to do this?
Well, there's been a lot of concern from some Americans and from some members of Congress about why the Federal Reserve did what it did during the financial crisis.
Right.
And people want to know why it's done what it's done since then. Now, Ben Bernanke's talked to reporters before, he's done TV interviews, and he's a former Princeton professor. So the goal here is for him to use those talents to make more people more aware of how federal monetary policy works and to help them understand how the Fed makes decisions.
But David, one of the big things about the Fed is it's supposed to be removed from daily political back and forth in Washington. Don't you think this is just going to add more political pressures to the Fed's decisions?
Well, look, this is risky. Chairman Bernanke knows that when he speaks, everybody listens, not just in the U.S., but around the world. He's probably going to focus on the past as much as he can. He'll still steer clear of what the Fed could do or what it might do. But Don Kettle, the dean of the University of Maryland School of Public Policy, says that's probably easier said than done.
Every good reporter is going to be trying very hard to try to wheedle out of Bernanke some sign about what it is that's likely to happen. And as has always been the case, a sneeze or a sniffle from the Fed can be enough to move the markets.
Now, the first news conference is scheduled for April 27th. I'll be there, Jeremy, with my notebook and microphone. I might even bring some Kleenex.
Stay dry. Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeremy.
To the world of bailed out companies now, the lender CIT, which finances small and medium-sized companies, may be making a comeback. Remember that CIT filed for bankruptcy back in 2009, even after it got government money. And this week, CIT raised $2 billion from bond investors. Our New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore reports.
Don't call it a happy ending yet, but maybe it's a happy middle. This week, CIT sold bonds for the first time since its bankruptcy. They were junk bonds, but investors seem to believe CIT will improve its credit ratings and its profits. So says Tom Ferguson, a bond analyst with KDP Research.
That CIT can go to the market and relatively easily raise $2 billion. It says something about the optimism investors hold in terms of CIT's ability to perform.
Ferguson gives credit to CIT's new chief executive, John Thain, who once led the New York Stock Exchange and Merrill Lynch. CIT's comeback could be good news for small and medium-sized companies that have found it hard to borrow since the financial crisis.
I think the past 3 or 4 years have been so tough on so many banks that it's created a bit of a vacuum that CIT can and should fill.
CIT's new bonds will lower the company's debt burden, which means more money for it to lend to those cash-strapped companies. In New York, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across the globe. American families, on the other hand, are making about 18% less money than they were before the financial crisis. That's according to a new survey from the Federal Reserve. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 84 points to close at 12,170.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. and by Reputation.com. Monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
AirTran and Southwest Airlines are waiting for clearance from the Justice Department after AirTran shareholders gave the merger between the two companies an okay earlier this week. But the big task remains, making these two very different airlines into one. Think of Southwest as the Hawaiian shirt of the airline industry, comfortable, familiar, and AirTran as the Sears suit, businesslike, affordable, no frills. From WABE in Atlanta, Jim Burris reports on the efforts to coordinate that outfit.
Well, hello, everybody. Come in and sit down. Put your seat belt on.
On this recent flight out of Dallas, Captain Mad Dog Watson greets passengers just like he always does.
Well, hello, folks. Now that I have your attention, let me introduce myself. Captain Mad Dog Watson here.
Just another Southwest pilot? Nope. Mad Dog flies for AirTran. Bob Fornaro is that company's CEO. He says the two airlines' cultures are already a lot alike.
The key thing is I think the attitudes are similar in terms of the way we focus on the customer, and that's the most important.
Fornaro is right. Good customer service is a key goal at both airlines, but it's a poorly kept secret that at Southwest, customers actually come second. Employees come first, explains Cheryl Huey, Southwest Director of Culture Services.
We know if we're doing the right thing for our employees, that ultimately it'll be the right thing for our business, which ultimately is the right thing for our customers.
Southwest generally pays its employees better. It's not facing contentious labor disputes like AirTran. And in the most turbulent economic times, Southwest still makes money. But Southwest CEO Gary Kelly says his airline can still pick up a few pointers from AirTran.
We want to be very measured about any radical changes that we're contemplating because what they've got works pretty darn good.
AirTran flies its planes more full, more often, and with less overhead than Southwest. All things Kelly says his airline needs to do better in order to grow.
This is a great opportunity for us to do great things for our culture, for our business, to grow Southwest Airlines, and in places that I don't think we could otherwise access.
Southwest will instantly add Caribbean destinations once it acquires AirTran, but Mexico and Canada could soon be on the horizon. In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
And finally to New York City, where a man is auctioning off his 212 area code phone number. He tells the New York Daily News he was tickled pink when he got that number 35 years ago. He says whoever buys it will be able to avoid the humiliation of a 347 or 646 area code, which he warns might make them look like they just moved to New York. And of course, no one wants that. The asking price, by the way, for this 212 number, $1 million. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Are you a klutz in the kitchen? Have you ever wondered what the heck is a brunoise anyway? Chef Zadi can change that for cheap at his new cooking school.
Brunoise is supposed to be 1/8 of an inch. It's a little square.
I'm Kai Rizdal, serving up a culinary school that costs way less than Le Cordon Bleu. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.